B-Pod Studios.
Toucher and Rich.
That's got to be a soul-killing exercise.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, one way or another, it's the Toucher and Rich Show, and you're going to hear from Rock and Roll Mike. Rock and Roll Mike, hello.
What the fuck is going on with you guys?
Okay.
I think you had to dump that first.
Wait,
thing.
What did he say?
Hey, what's up,
Ryan?
Rock and Roll Mike, do me a
favor. Toucher and Rich, how you guys doing?
Rock and Roll Mike, what have you been working on? It's been a while since we've talked to you.
Yeah, I know. I don't know how to figure out the phone number and everything, man. I don't know what I'm doing. My brain. Slash was on last night at the House of Blues. I was there.
I couldn't
call you in. I got too hammered, man. It happens.
Where are you at right now, Rock and Roll Mike?
Me?
Yeah.
I'm not in an alley. I'm at a friend's house. Wow, I'm not in an alley right now, but I'll be in an alley tonight. But that's okay. We got Dropkick Murphys coming in. Happy St. Patrick's weekend.
Is there a song that you've been working on, perhaps, Rock and Roll Mike?
Oh, man. I've been trying, man, but my brain has been fried.
What is the drug of choice right now for Rock and Roll Mike?
The what?
The drug of choice for Rock and Roll Mike.
Vodka! Give me vodka! We got the Dropkick Murphys, man. Come on.
Maybe My Brain Has Been Fried is the name of your next song.
Patrick's Day.
Is there ever any
Psycho Circus? Oh yeah! Welcome to the show. Come on, people.
Is there any
Daddy-O, man?
Is there ever any like go-go juice for you? Like any speed? Because you seem to keep late hours.
All I got to say is, whack forward, daddy, go! There's whiskey in the jar. I tell people, I don't got a jar, so please, just bring me a bottle.
All right. Well, Rock and Roll Mike, it's always great to talk to you.
Happy St. Patrick's Day, man, weekend.
Where can people see you this week? Because I know that a lot
you
of people
know
can
where
be.
I'm at Lansdowne Street.
All right.
House of Blues. Lansdowne Pub. Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, let's get the baseball season going.
You know that. How you guys doing?
We're doing great. All right. Thank you, Rock and Roll Mike. All right. There you go. Rock and Roll Mike. There were a lot of Rock and Roll Mikes yesterday. If you recall, this very show was talking about the big Bryant Bulldog.
Yep.
Rhode Island's own Bryant University. And we told you about Peter Kiss, who his parents were no doubt having some fun with that name. Because he reminds me of my drummer, who looks so good and has aged so well.
Or it's like a cruel name to give a child.
Well,
he wears the Kiss shirt before games.
I know, or it could be an act. But yes, he does. He
could be.
He's the only person who shows up wearing a Kiss shirt that's like, that's not very cool.
No. I told him in the locker room, I said, hi, kid.
So this was a
take that out.
I know you like, yes, I'm sure you were a fan.
I said, take it off and let's make a pillow out of it.
So if you didn't know, Bryant versus Wagner was a game that John Walk, all season long, and for how many years now have you been the
14.
Okay, 14 years. You have been the play-by-play voice of Bryant basketball, and this—it's all basically it's built to this point. This is your big moment. They finally had a chance yesterday to get the big game, to win the conference, and make it into March Madness. And sure enough, Wagner shows up, and it is an absolute ass kicking. Like, I mean, you're right. At one point, it was 36-6.
Yeah, they were talking about how this was historically bad for Wagner. I saw the second part of this first half, and I saw Peter Chaos.
So, Fred, I watched, I think, from the first 2 minutes. I turned it on, it was 2 minutes in, and then I watched the entire rest of the game. So John had been telling me about this guy, Peter Kiss, for a while because he is the most prolific scorer, yes, and I believe all of the NCAA.
Leads the nation in scoring for all Division I players.
Okay.
Yes, averages about 25 points a game.
Now, what I did not know, and John, maybe you can tell me if this is a one-off thing, is that after, and John, correct me if I'm exaggerating, after at least every shot that he made, he either flexed. At one point, he did push-ups on the ground.
Yes, that's a first. I'd never seen him do that.
At another shot, he put, like, these goggles on and, like, looking around, like, look at me. And then in another shot, this is all within the first, like, half of the game.
Right.
He made a shot and then started doing this, like, I'm a little teapot thing with his hands.
I didn't see that one.
And then, oh, I actually posted that one.
I didn't see
that. And then
that
pointed
one.
At the Wagner bench and then blew them a kiss. This is now, all within a matter of 10 minutes of basketball.
Now, but you knew Wagner came to play, Rich, because the coach was, if I'm not mistaken,
wearing a
Wagner jersey.
He was wearing
form-fitting, Rich. Yeah.
I can say he's the oldest looking. Like, there's no way this guy's in college.
Oh, he wears that, and the reason he wears that is one of their starting guards, Elijah Ford, tore an ACL last month, and Ford is very valuable to the program. He was a senior. That's the end of his career. That was the coach's way of honoring him.
Maybe
now, you could have thought of
fabric.
Another way to do it, but that was the reason he was wearing the uniform.
Yeah, maybe like a little bow or something.
Yeah.
Or
a pin, perhaps.
Or maybe,
yes.
Maybe some more fabric on the jersey.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
The jersey looked like me in anything that's not an extra, extra large now.
Yes. This guy, Peter Kiss, is so undeniably talented, but is there a player in the NCAA who is just begging to get their ass kicked more than this guy?
He's talented in that. He's talented in this conference.
Well, that's the thing. It's like
there's going to be a come to Jesus moment where there's kids at other. I mean, like if Max Christie from Michigan State, for instance, plays at Bryan, I mean, he would score at will. I mean, he would do whatever he wanted.
You're allowed one excessive peacock per game. Like you can wave or whatever. But I mean. If you do push-ups, that's got to be it. If you do I'm a little teapot, that's got to be it.
If I'm coaching Wagner, I literally am ashamed to say it's crossed my mind in youth sports. I would say elbow him in the face.
Well, John, you said that he missed a couple games at the beginning of the season, right?
He was suspended for two games at the beginning of the season for violation of team rules. And then there was a game against Long Island University during the middle of the season where he, after a timeout, he walked out to the middle of the floor and then kind of meandered over to the Long Island bench and started trash talking. And the LIU players are not happy about that. The bench is emptied, and he got suspended by the conference for two games.
Can you imagine him getting into the NBA and pulling that in front of the Jokic brothers?
No, probably not. No.
Can I imagine him getting into the NBA? No.
I think there's an opportunity in the G League for him. And we've talked about him in the past. The thing that's going to help Kiss is his size. He's not a 5'11 kid scoring at will. He's 6'5", and if you watched the game last night, very, very good offensively, very quick. He's got an opportunity.
John, you were at the game, so you didn't see this. So first of all, as you know, in that first half, he was unstoppable. He got anything he wanted.
He scored 19 points in the first half.
But the shots he was making were ridiculous. He was making unbelievable plays. And at halftime, they go back to the studio, and you think it's going to be all about how great this guy is. You want to know who hates Pete Kiss? ESPN. And everyone who was on there, they were like, if I'm the coach, I'm pulling him aside and tell him he better cool it. I don't know how they're giving him a technical. Like, this guy's got to cool it. Like, they all said that. It was all about what a douche he was being and not about how he was absolutely tearing it up last night.
Well, because you can't act like that.
You can't, especially during a blowout.
It was
like
excessive
that, so it's,
last night.
It's one thing if you hit, like, a big shot in a close game and you do something like that. This was when he was doing like the little teapot thing, they were up by 30 and pointing at the crowd. So like there was already an air of weirdness happening in the stands. And by the way, credit before all the craziness happened, the Bryant crowd was loud. Like they were maniacs.
There was no place to stand in there.
They're sitting on the court.
It was nuts in there. I've never seen it like that. It was about 2,700 people in that building, and that doesn't seem like a lot when you're talking Division I basketball.
In that building,
but
it's
absolutely insane in that building.
I mean, that's a small gym.
Yes.
So this morning I came in and I'm like, all right, I got to hear the radio call. I got to hear John Wallach's radio call the fight. So
right.
Mike Lockhart, looks up radio call of the Bryant basketball game.
Well, we didn't see what happened.
Hang on. Okay. Wait 1 second. He goes, radio call of the Bryant basketball skirmish, and here's what we got.
You're Bryant University Bulldogs.
And we are going to March Madness.
We are going to March Madness for the first time in school history.
And I'm like, that's not John Wall.
No, that's not me.
That's who? I thought you did the radio call.
I did the radio call.
For who? Because that's the radio call.
No, and that's radio. I did it for a service online, NEC Front Row.
For JohnWallach.com?
I did the audio on NEC Front Row, which was the local TV broadcast all season long. The radio you just played, those were the kids. Those are the actual students.
So that's the one that was actually on the radio.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, so aren't you the guy actually on the radio usually?
I have been.
Then why
until about 2 years ago, yes.
Did you get bumped in the biggest game for a bunch of students?
No, 2 years ago.
No. 2 years ago, the school and the entire conference junked their commercial radio contracts.
Are you the guy that they keep at the office just because they like what they don't actually pay?
That's right.
Just because they don't have the heart to let anyone know he needs
That's right.
This
That's
is right. You're not getting paid. All right.
I do all that driving. I don't get paid at all. And I drive about 90 miles a night. That's right.
This is
Do you sit at the broadcaster's table?
This is venturing into being uncomfortably mean. Like, I'm sitting this one out. Man, this is even too much for me.
What is that? No. I was shocked. It said the radio call. And
okay. John doesn't.
NECFrontRow.com is what you're looking for, Mike.
Okay. Well, no, I found it.
Okay.
I found it because you linked it. Like, you put it out there.
Yes.
But Mike was like, but that's not the radio call. I'm like, yeah, it is. And he goes, no.
All right.
That's the radio call.
Let's give him a little bit of a break. Let's give him a little break.
Man.
It's getting uncomfortable.
And for Fred to say that.
Suffice it to say,
but
John was there and had a microphone and was calling the game.
And he did call the game. And when we get back, there was chaos. And to be quite honest, it came out of nowhere. I don't want to say out of nowhere, because it was building. The tension was building. The crowd was sauced up. They had obviously been ready to go this
apparently,
entire game.
Apparently, you can buy alcohol at the Bryant game.
Yes. They just started that this year.
And so good for the Bryant kids for getting rid of that as soon as it started. I guarantee you they don't have alcohol in the stands next year.
Is that the only college?
No.
Because for some reason, every college game I've been to, they haven't sold alcohol.
No, it's different
they
do now.
Recently, okay. Yeah. Last couple of years, Fred, you were talking about the BC. They sell it at BC now for the first time.
2 years, 3 years ago at BC,
they just started it.
You could get beer, but you had to have this special pass, and there was like a 5-minute window where you could get it, like at halftime.
Mm-hmm.
So like it was just this race of like yelling at people.
Oh, jeez.
And now at BC, you can buy beer, I think. I mean, I can't do anything about it, but I think that you can buy beer at BC games now.
If anyone was at that game, I would actually like to kind of know what was going on in the stands. 617-779-0985.
Well, there's a big wuss. The kid with no shirt on, I mean, he like stayed out of the frame, and you figure he got no shirt on, and then they're brawling right in front of him, and he just like chucks a drink at him.
One dude got clocked.
Yeah, well, the guy with no shirt on should have gotten the He was staying out of it.
But we have John's call, and also, it's not just John's call that we have. It's what was going on in the background with the athletic director. I mean, it is quite the drama. And it all unfolded right in front of our own Johnny Wallen.
It's on ESPN right now.
It's leading SportsCenter. Not leading, but they're spending tons of time on it.
Oh, boy. That Bryant coach really should have sat that kid. He really should have taken that kid out.
He was more excessive than he's ever been.
He's doing push-ups. He's doing this stuff with his like eye goggles. Matter of fact, ESPN is now showing a montage of all of his peacocking that he's doing.
I don't think
all in the first half.
John, I don't think that's going to help him get a gig.
Probably not.
And then he hangs on the rim. I mean, come on. I mean, Fred.
Yeah, you can't be. Well, pull him there, fatso. It's looking like the Penguin, the coach of Bryant. Pull the kid.
I mean, he's like, he's doing all this flexing.
Please play like a Big Ten school. Please play a Big Ten school where they'll beat the living hell out of you.
But you know what's crazy?
Play Michigan State.
Is that ESPN is using that, the peacocking, it looks, to tell the story of how the tensions built. So it's
Bryant should have pulled. It's still scholastic basketball. I mean, it's still, you're under the pretense of being, you know, an institution of higher learning. You got to pull the kid out of the game. I'd pull a kid out of an NAA game for doing that. All right.
Oh, dude.
Oh, wussy.
Oh, but
you got to be able to take the punch better than that.
He didn't know it was coming.
As someone who has been hit many, many times, I'm not saying that I would have done anything in return of any value, but I can take a punch. Mm-hmm. That I know. That I can do. All right, we'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Toucher and Rich.
I just want you to go, and like, oh yeah.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hey, we're the Toucher and Rich radio program, and we've established that John is the longtime voice of the Bryan Bulldogs basketball program, and in one shape or form, he was calling the game last night. And there is a player on the team named Peter Kiss, who, if you've seen SportsCenter at all this morning, has you've seen his antics. I mean, he was showboating to a degree I don't know if I've ever seen.
I've never seen anything like that, especially in a blowout like that. It was as over the top as I've seen, in college sports. And the people on ESPN afterwards, I was fully expecting them to talk about how great he was, and all of them were just like, man, this guy's got to calm down.
So it's a higher gear. There's always been part of that in his game. I won't bore you with it. He's a New York City kid who's always played with an attitude, and he's always had great talent, but there is that other part of him. And if you get the scoring ability and you get the talent, you get this other part as well. Last night, obviously, was more than you usually get.
And the Bryan coach, had no control over him. He didn't have the nuts to take him out of the game, even though it was a blowout.
So I'm not saying that this is the reason why there ended up being a brawl in the second half. I'm not saying it's because of Peter Kiss. But it definitely was a weird environment in that you had a team that was getting humiliated in a conference championship game. You had, somebody obviously who was, rubbing it in, and a crowd that was amped up. That obviously doesn't make for the best environment.
And it's two student sections sitting right next to each other.
Yes. And John was right in the middle of all of it. And if you've not seen the video, or at least part of it, you can go to @TucherAndRich. And at one point, with maybe like 5 minutes left in the game.
4:37 left in the game, yes.
You all of a sudden see a big to-do in the stands.
And it was during a timeout. Kiss had just hit a three, even though the game was over, the head coach Bashir Mason and Wagner called a timeout, and that's when this happened.
So the two student sections start like basically throwing arms, and then a couple of the players from Wagner look like they're about to run into the stands. One almost does, and this goes on for just under 10 minutes? Movement in the stands, yes, and the chairs being moved, and the cops coming in and taking people out, and then there's a whole lot of what the hell's going on here, and John was right there doing the play-by-play. Fred, you have the call right here.
Yeah, there's a kid with no shirt on that's staying out of the fray.
Well, the guy with his shirt off is just, I'm party dude, but then the guy to his left, who's a dude who on ESPN is getting the full-in zoom-in treatment, he gets clocked without, he doesn't even know what's coming.
Yeah, you got to take that punch a little bit better.
And
than
his
that.
Nose is bleeding all over the place. Yeah, he got it the worst of it.
I did not see that. I'm across the way. I didn't have the ESPN feed next to me.
Oh, but yeah.
I wish I had.
All right. Here is John Wallach on the call.
Getting back to play now, we have an altercation in the crowd. And some of the Wagner players are trying to leave the bench and head into the crowd. Some of the Wagner students made the trip. They are backed up against the Bryant student section, which is large. And in the middle of the timeout, we had a bunch of Wagner players trying to leave the bench and get into the crowd. to defend their students.
Where is Wagner?
Staten Island.
Yeah. If I'm taking a team, if I'm taking a fan base in this fight, I'm taking the Wagner fan base by a lot.
Well, they were wildly outnumbered last night, I know.
But I'm still, it's like Ukraine versus Russia.
I will tell you,
Wagner's defending that, defending their turf.
There were some big boys that made the trip from NYC.
Yeah. I'm taking the Staten Island kids.
Yeah.
All right.
Will Martinez in particular. We have one Wagner student on the bench who got knocked down, and there are chairs all over the floor of the Wagner bench.
Okay, on ESPN for a solid 30 seconds, F you, Wagner, and I will give ESPN all of the credit in the world, and maybe it's just because they had like the D-level producers doing on ESPN too. They kept the camera right there on the whole thing.
I know why.
And didn't move it.
I know why. You can't get in trouble. It's ambient noise.
No, I'm talking about on the fight as well.
And they know. Yeah, they know you're showing this. Yeah, but I just like how the dude's concerned about the profanity, not the brawl that's taking place.
Is that the athletic director?
No, that was the public address announcer.
Oh, okay.
You rank higher than him in the pecking order.
The public address announcer? I guess. Yes.
Imagine if Sarge was there. Everybody stop the profanity. Sarge here.
A public address announcer, Jake Zimmer, trying to get fans under control, but we have one Wagner fan who is just livid and has to be escorted away from things. It was an altercation in the crowd that wound up in the bench area and knocked many Wagner chairs over with 4:37 to go. I did not see what started it. All of the Wagner players are out on the floor here, and you really hate to see the game end this way. It appeared to be an altercation behind the Wagner bench where the Wagner students and the Bryant students were next to each other. And all of a sudden, we had what appeared to be a fight break out behind the Wagner bench. It spilled into the Wagner bench, knocking the chairs over along the sideline. And a couple of the Wagner players, in particular Will Martinez, wanted to get in the crowd and wanted a piece from someone. Martinez had to be physically restrained by two of his teammates.
Rock and roll, man!
He gets
outside.
Somehow he got from Lansdowne down to Rhode Island.
I fell asleep on the bus.
Maybe it was Phil Vincent.
From Cranston?
Could be from Phil Vincent from Cranston.
If you want us to play, you're going to have to stop.
By two of his teammates. Athletic director.
Do not eat the brown acid.
It's a Woodstock.
For all of you that are old.
Reference. Yes.
Bill Smith is over by the sideline trying to get things under control.
Mascot's just standing there dumbfounded. Like the mascot wanted a front row seat.
Well,
so you can see, like, what is it? Is it a bear? Or it's a bulldog. Is it a bulldog or a cat?
It's a bulldog. It's a bulldog.
But it looks like a cat. This big, like, thing.
No, it doesn't.
It sure does. Like a big brown cat.
No, it doesn't.
Comes walking over and, like, it, you know, completely breaks the whatever third wall, whatever it's called. Just walks over and just wants to watch the fight. And the way that the cat or bulldog is, his mouth's agape, like we all were watching, it's going, huh.
Well, usually the mascot is the toughest guy on the floor.
I need everybody's attention right now.
Bill Smith is on the microphone here trying to get things under control.
Stop. Which, by the way, that never happened.
Well, no, but he has to know if everyone's on the same page, which during a mass brawl, you're going to get a lot of people. Like, yeah. We're on the same page.
We're good. Pardon me.
Yeah, we don't want to So you, I'm under. Yes, yeah, so we leave this door. Okay. Yeah, we're on the same page.
You guys this way. No. And you guys this
You'll
way.
You'll see the, no. the on the south end of the arena, there is an exit, which are two push doors. I would like you to leave that way, Wagner people. Now, are we on the same page? Are you understanding everything that I'm saying during this melee? There's a lot of instructions giving out, John.
Well, no, the melee was over by the time he was directing people. They had gotten things under control. There were enough police. They brought in. The state troopers showed up. I mean, they had a lot of people there trying to separate things. So...
And now the Wagner players have been sent to their locker room. Mass chaos on the Wagner side of the floor. And I don't know if he's asking Bryant fans to leave now, but what I do know is Wagner players are back in the locker room. Bryant players are headed there too with 4:37 to go.
Is there any truth, John, to the rumors that the Hells Angels were the security for this event?
Did you see the video outside of Bryant yesterday?
Okay, here, you talk about after the game?
Yeah.
Okay, after the game, I left. I hung around and you know, shook hands, congratulated everyone, watched them cut the nets down, and then I left. And this is about an hour and a half after the game was over. There were about 10, 15 police cars and fire department vehicles surrounding the Wagner bus to make sure that nothing happened. After the Wagner players stayed in their locker room till everybody left, and then they went to their bus and took off.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm sure some couches were lit on fire and everything. That's just what you do in college.
And now they are getting Wagner fans to leave the building. That is what is going on. Needless to say, a terrible way to end what was a feel-good evening for Bryant throughout the course of the game. A bizarre way to end this basketball game. The Bulldogs have 32 points from Peter Kiss.
So then the 4 minutes go by, and what happens, and this is another thing I thought was weird, John, is that the guys from Bryant would dribble out the shot clock, but then... There was an instance where they're dribbling out the shot clock, and when with 2 seconds left, a guy chucks up a three.
There was
like that,
there was
what
one
are they
kid,
doing?
One kid. They tried to get one kid, the last guy on the bench. Every college basketball team has one. There's one kid who they got in the game. They gave the basketball to force him to shoot it at the shot clock buzzer.
Okay, but that's not the time to do it.
No, you can do. I mean, if you're running
if
out the clock,
game's over, and they want to get the kid. The kid, I think, has scored 2 points all season. They wanted to get him some points.
Yeah, that's not the that, out of all the egregious things.
I don't think that was
game,
a problem.
That's not the one.
So I didn't hear whether or not, because someone, I guess, on Twitter was saying that one of the announcements they asked the Bryant students was that when it was all over with, not to rush the floor. Did they say that?
I don't remember that.
Okay.
And even if they did, they didn't pay attention to it.
Well, so that's another thing that, Fred, I don't know if you saw the video that I posted, but when the Bryant students started rushing the floor, there was a female trainer for Wagner, it looks like. And John told me it was a trainer. I don't know if it's a trainer.
I think it was a trainer,
okay.
Yes.
She comes walking over in front of the Wagner bench, I think, to like either shake hands with somebody, and she's walking across and she trips over somebody, and then the student section basically tramples her as she's lying on the ground.
Ladies and gentlemen, Bryant University. Ladies and gentlemen,
I hope
good
she's
people
okay.
of Bryant University. If they brought in Angelina and Vinny from the Jersey Shore, Staten Island's own, they could have controlled things, but they did not. They should have had Vinny and Angelina on hand.
It wasn't like they said, oh, there's a woman lying down. Let's trample her.
You are uncomfortable with this because you are defending the university that pays you. But, I mean, it's see-through. This is a black eye to the sport, John, and a black eye to Bryant University.
It is wild that this is like the one time that Bryant finally gets their respect. Yeah. They're on, you know, ESPN2. Everyone's going to be talking about them, and that happens.
Yeah, that you have the world's biggest jackass as your best player, and that you have a crowd that can't control themselves, and that got beat up like outnumbered ten. Like Brian outnumbered the Wagner people 10-1, and they still lost.
Now, how do you know that?
Because the shirtless guy didn't get involved. Okay. And if you take your shirt off, you better be throwing punches.
That's true. That's true.
So that determines a loss.
I saw one great punch being connected,
and it was a Wagner.
And it was a Wagner's person on a Bryant guy.
I see.
That was the one punch that I saw. I was like, okay, well, now it's a fight.
Yeah, and then
like, you can say it's a brawl, but that's a fight.
And who was the guy who got hit standing right next to?
Shirtless Magoo.
Yeah, Shirtless Magoo did not even throw one punch.
No, but he threw a... It's funny, at one point he gets knocked into, and he does this amazing feat of balance to not spill his drink, and then seconds later just throws it.
Yeah. You should have been much more finger wagging in the call. You should have been like,
now, is this the way we behave at a Bryant game?
You should have implored them as the most famous person in the arena. You should have implored them.
Everybody stop.
Of all the places we didn't have the Wallachat, actually, it would have been good yesterday.
Well, John told me if they had the Wallachat.
The one place, and I thought about, I forgot to bring it down. That's on me. I did bring it last year, you remember,
did,
the
right,
NFC Championship game. But the students were there. There was no place to put it. The one place I could have put it was right next to the Wagner student section. That was the one place
what
that was available.
Used as a weapon?
And yeah.
And no, this is a symbol of peace, people.
That's right.
Not to be used as weapon.
We never would have seen the mustachioed wonder again. That would have been it. We never would have seen him again.
It's funny. All night last night, I was getting texts and from people who were watching the game and sending me photos because you couldn't really see Wallach during the game except for there was a part during the fight where they were looking at the tape to find out how it all started. And
oh yeah, John. He's investigating eagle mode.
John's right there. He's right there on it.
I had an opportunity. The video screen was right next to me. Well, let me get up and take a look at this.
You can, and then when they suspend, wouldn't it be funny if they suspended Bryant from the tournament? Like they made the
NCAA
tournament.
No, that wouldn't be funny at all, actually.
And then they gave it to Wagner because of the fight that was in the stands.
That's right.
Well, I mean, there was talk of that, even though it's not going to happen. But, I mean, there was like people saying, well, you know, they needed to, you know, forfeit because of the way that the crowd acted, which is ridiculous.
Maybe they suspend Kiss.
Both sides had problems last night, not just Brian.
Maybe you suspend Kiss for the playing game.
So why would you suspend Kiss for the playing game?
He's a jackass.
Oh, I see.
And by the way, earlier, I was not like ripping on you. I'm saying that you're being disrespected. You're someone who's been with that team for 14 years. And for them to not only not have you on that last night's radio call, like the actual radio one, but they got to get you to go to to March Madness.
Yeah.
Like that's something that they owe to you. You have been the biggest supporter of Bryant basketball. And now that they're good for them to like do that, like I'll say it because I know that you, I don't even know if you ever feel this way or whatever like that, but I think that you're being disrespected. There's no one who is a bigger supporter of that team than you. And who's been with
obvious.
Them for all these years.
Dude,
you call Celtics games.
Well, and he defends the deplorable behavior by them. I mean, it could be a one-way ticket to Dayton, Ohio for you, Johnny boy.
I'll tell you what.
That's got to be a bucket list thing.
It's all I've ever wanted
University
to do.
University of Dayton Arena.
Be a flyer. Yep.
For the playing game.
Don't you think they owe it to John?
If he wants to go, yeah. If I was John, I wouldn't want to go. But yeah, if you know.
John obviously loves the team. And like, I mean, he is a true supporter of this team. So, yeah, I would want to go. Would you want to go if they offered it to you?
Yeah, it would depend on the day. Part of the problem is I have 3 Celtics games to call next week. That's the problem.
Ah, so F you, Brian.
Yes, right. That's what I'm saying.
Well, Bryant University has shown itself its true colors in that it is an institution that is out of control.
If anyone was in that crowd, I would like to know how that all truly started.
And I hope the profits from the alcohol that you sell at the games were worth the black eye the university had last night.
It's all over ESPN this morning.
I hope it was all worth it, Brian. And I, you know what? I had my kids all ready to go. All straight A students, not a B between them. And they were all going to go to Brian. And now that dream is gone. Why would I send him to a place that is that unruly? the face of the university now is Peter Kiss, the world's worst human. John Wayne Gacy Kiss.
Oh, God.
is what they call him. Someone check his Manhattan apartment for bodies. Because I'm not convinced he's not a serial killer. And here's John. Just glossing it all over, massaging it all like nothing bad happened. Typical.
The brawl would have gone on all night if it wasn't for John being there. John
That's
was
right.
the peacemaker. He was the peacemaker.
Congratulations to Brian for making the tournament. I hope it was worth it.
It's going to be must watch, though.
And congratulations in keeping your coach, even though he's in the current blockbuster, The Batman, as everyone's favorite villain, the Penguin. All right, we will be back here with headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
As the games get bigger
and
the playoffs get closer, the only place to hear all the play-by-play is 98.5, the Sports.
And Bergeron, the 90, score!
Your home for the Bruins and Celtics.
Three, money.
From the rest of the regular season,
blocker save, rebound.
Through every playoff game.
Big top flush with a right hand.
The only place to hear all the action.
Oh, that was nasty.
Is the home for Boston sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Now, more Toucher and Rich.
And whatever this is.
This son of Dan and Rick Flair and Nepotism.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
We're up all night watching Brian. We're up all night watching Brian. We're up all night watching Brian. How you embarrassed school. How you'll never be cool. How you all should be suspended from the NCAA tournament. That's what I would do if I was in charge of the whole dang thing. I'd set an example out of that team.
Why would you suspend Brian again?
I don't know, John. I'm just making you upset.
Okay.
I'm just trying to make you upset.
You're just mean.
No, actually, I'm not.
Mean.
Actually, I'm
no,
not.
No, Rich is mean. You're, yeah, you're just
I'm just sitting
you.
Here. Yeah. I'm just sitting here.
Yeah.
Just minding my own business. Now, is it true that Katie Couric dated Tom Warner
because yes.
she was just on TV.
Yes, but I just figured I dated for 4 years.
I never thought much of her until she had the colonoscopy on TV.
Mm. What?
Yes, yes.
Very strange fetish.
I'm not even sure what fetish that is exactly.
Well, it's to be the camera. Hey. Investigator.
I see. Okay.
Ooh, polyp land.
Right.
We shall remove this polyp.
That's colonoscopy DA.
Okay. Mm, yes, yes.
That's, sounds like it might be a little too in-depth into...
So to speak.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of
that. There was a... I can say this. There was a Hustler magazine layout. Where I will tell you this, if you love classic erotica, look no further than Hustler magazine. There was a Hustler magazine layout where it starts off with a doctor's office, and then the photo shoot is the women actually inside of the digestive tract of the person. So they built these model digestive tracts.
Like Dr. Oz.
Yes, it was and I sued the bastard. Because that's what Dr. Oz would do, or the doctors. They would like have everything was the like your colon or intestine. And they would like have slides and stuff. It was like Double Dare. But because they would have to show you and quadruple the size, like, you know, they would have to show you that, walk you through the colon.
Well, that almost reminds
me. Yes!
Well, that almost reminds me of when we were kids, the most disturbing child performer, Slim Goodbody.
Slim Goodbody, who wanted nothing more than to popularize the Jewish fro. He was out entirely to make that happen.
He had the unitard.
Yes.
That had all of the different innards of his body on the front of it.
It did. But then when it got to the privates, no.
Very in shape, slim, good body.
Slim. Well, he was very slim.
Yes.
Okay. Very. He was very slim, but it was only the pelvic bone. It did not show the reproductive organs. It was only the pelvic bone.
Because
I have gone back to look. Like, well, if you're going to do it. You know what I'm saying?
But so would he just like point at parts of his body? Like, I don't.
My recollection of Slim Goodbody is that he was never on TV for more than a minute.
Well, or I changed the channel as a child.
Like I don't think it was the Slim Goodbody show. I think Slim Goodbody was like someone who would show up for a minute here or there during your various Captain Kangaroos or whatever. And he would espouse the future, the value of celery. I do recall as a child, and we've played the audio of celery being a very, 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 very vital component to good health.
Was he the most disturbing child entertainer?
No. No. No,
because a lot of people didn't like the Bozo show and Wizzo.
I hated Bozo the Clown.
He never disturbed me.
The grand prize game was the greatest thing of all.
Well,
time.
Of course, because you just had a kid who would miss the first one, which was literally a bucket at your feet,
and you would love it. I mean, was there anything you wanted to do more than get on the grand prize game?
Oh, yeah, because you knew you would have won the Schwinn bicycle and the crisp $50 bill.
It's like playing paddleball. You're all like automatically like the best ever at the grand prize game. I probably would have choked at it.
Slim Goodbody. Okay, no, come on.
The people with the face clay.
Oh, Moomin Shots. Yeah, it's Moomin Shots. It was they used to put it on Sesame Street, and it was like morphing like weird clay faces and like the hands that were painted to make faces.
Because, you know, public television, except for like Fred Rogers, was, I believe, located in New York City. And so they would occasionally stray into the avant-garde, which was like Laurie Anderson did stuff on like on Sesame Street. And
Doug Henning was fairly disturbing too. Would he consider a child performer, or was he just like
No. He was full on Broadway magician. Yeah,
his illusions were for the adults.
Oh, yeah. Okay, all right.
His colorful suspenders were meant to mystify.
Who was the dude that locally used to just draw pictures of Popeye characters?
Oh yeah, we played.
Oh yeah, I remember that guy.
He was obsessed with drawing Popeye. But it would be like, here is Bluto's second uncle.
Well, the only
Rufus. The like only he run out of characters.
We have 1 minute, but I will tell you the only time I really freaked out completely that I remember as a kid is there was a Pinocchio with real people.
I know the one you're talking about.
And Geppetto turned around, and Pinocchio had a long nose, and Geppetto freaked out. And I remember that scaring. There's three things from his child that scaring the hell out of me. The Snow White ride when the witch comes in.
Well, they changed the name of it because of that, right? It's Snow White's Scary Adventures.
Well, yeah, they don't even have the witch anymore. They got rid of it.
Oh, okay.
And then, Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret, when she has her period. Because I knew nothing of the female reproductive, and I thought men got periods too. So I went, I remember exactly, I had a Judy Blume set of books, and I read them all, and I finally got to Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret. So I'm like, I'll just read it. And it got to the period part. And I like ran into my mom's room, and I was like,
"Oh, jeez!"
And she had to explain to me. And then when I was much older, when I found my first Nugget magazine,
oh man,
I did have to run to my mom, and I was might have been 15 years old.
See, but that wasn't meant for kids. I could see how that would f you up. Like I saw Poltergeist when I was 5, and that scarred me for a long time, which is like the worst because it's everything you love coming to attack you. It's your toys, your closet, your TV. But no, I'm talking about things meant for kids.
Yeah, those three things.
There are movies that were
which, by the way, it's Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret. Did nothing wrong. I'm sure it's a great learning tool for a young lady. But from being someone who's, I think it's more of an indictment on the educational system than anything else.
Yeah, there's a million movies that were meant for kids that were terrifying.
I mean, if only I lived in Texas where they would pretend that gay people didn't exist until third grade.
That's Florida.
Oh, that's Florida.
Yeah.
All the problems in the world, finally, we're attacking the real issues.
Imagine
being, just pretending that gay people don't exist.
Imagine coming from a family. Like, let's say you have two fathers and you're not allowed to talk about them in school.
Oh, no. Or imagine.
You just can't talk about your family.
Or imagine that you're in third grade and gay. Like I'm sure you got your kids have went to school with a kid that like was dressing like a girl. Like I'm sure, mine certainly have, and I mean, so like what? Like you just don't exist until fourth grade. You stay put. You don't feel the way you feel. That's not allowed until
fourth
grade.
There's a football. Shut your mouth. It's kind of what they're doing.
I just like the idea that it doesn't exist. It doesn't exist. It's far too traumatic for a child to grasp.
Oh, boy. Somebody said, in retrospect, I think the most disturbing children's character, and it's a picture of Cosby on picture pages.
Cosby was all right. You can remember him fondly. He was a bad dude behind the scenes. That's all right. We'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.